Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, September 19th. I'm Abby Larico. Discovering local music can be a daunting task in 2025. Finding new artists can sometimes happen through streaming services, social media, or recommendations from friends. But have you tried just going outside?
Look at the existing concert venues in town. Look at who is playing. Pick a show or two a month to start with. And go. Remember how life
used to be. STLPR's Chad Davis takes us on a musical journey and shows us how to find artists close to home. It's coming up after this news on The Gateway. More help is coming for St. Louis to remove tornado debris. STLPR Sarah Kellogg reports on the newly announced federal assistance.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is providing an initial lump sum of over $60 million to kickstart debris removal. The agency is also covering 75% of eligible debris removal costs. Missouri must cover the other 25%. U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt sent a letter to FEMA seeking more aid in August. He says that he's thrilled by the approval.
This will unlock rapidly deployed federal funding and assistance to strengthen state and local efforts to remove debris, protect public health and safety, and support St. Louis's full recovery.
The city is set to tap into $100 million it received in state funding back in June for this effort. There is not yet a start date for the debris removal. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louisans affected by the May 16th tornado can still receive in-person services from FEMA at disaster recovery centers through next Thursday. Stanley Prince's roof was damaged by the tornado, and he has been coming to the centers to get help repairing it. His home health provider incorrectly listed on his disaster assistance application that he was a renter when he actually owns his house, so FEMA staff helped Prince figure out what documents he needed to submit.
I didn't know that I had to take the deed down to the city to get it processed. I'm thinking since I have the deed and my name has been notarized and stuff that I own the house.
Prince's visit to a disaster recovery center yesterday was his fourth since the storm, and he says FEMA has been helpful. The centers are located at Union Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church and the Urban League's Entrepreneurship and Women's Business Center. Mayor Kara Spencer will sign an executive order today officially launching the City of St. Louis's plan to address concerns with data center proposals. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports it comes after previous discussions of a temporary ban on the projects.
Spencer laid out a five-month plan for the city to develop a framework to answer questions citizens have about data centers without banning the projects. She says the city needs to thoughtfully move forward without losing out on potential business.
We don't want to be closed for business, but we do want to be thoughtful in the regulation that we're putting forward, and that's why we're moving forward in this manner.
The city previously discussed temporarily banning new data center proposals after city staff said time was needed for research. Spencer says she feels the city can adequately answer those questions through the conditional use permit process. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Striking Boeing workers will vote again today on a new contract, this time one the union came up with. The local machinist union is putting forth a proposal that makes changes to the 401k plan and wages and increases the signing bonus. This comes a week after the union voted down Boeing's third contract offer. They've been on strike since August 4th. If this contract passes today, the union will send it to Boeing as a pre-approved agreement. A spokesperson for the company, though, has called the offer a waste of time. Boeing previously announced plans to fire and replace all striking employees. A St. Louis woman is suing the Washington University and Eureka police departments for arresting her without probable cause. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports civil rights law group Arch City Defenders is continuing its fight against the use of so-called wanteds.
The wanted system gives Missouri police the right to arrest people for questioning without probable cause or a warrant. 36-year-old Caitlin Kilgo was placed on this list after attending a protest at WashU last year. She's now seeking punitive damages after being detained for 4 hours, months after the protest. Attorneys from Arch City Defenders say police told them they were investigating the theft of an officer's riot helmet, but Kilgo denies any involvement. A 2022 court ruling found the use of wanteds to be lawful, but said they are fraught with the risk of violating the Constitution. Kilgo says the arrest violated her sense of freedom and hopes her lawsuit will help end the wanteds policy. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Southern Illinois University Edwardsville will have a balanced budget for the first time since 2017. The SIU Board of Trustees unanimously approved the proposed operating budget at a meeting in East St. Louis yesterday morning. The budget has the Metro East University making and spending roughly $341 million this fiscal year. That started in July and runs until June of 2026. Last year, the state school had a $10 million deficit. SIUE Chancellor James Miner says an enrollment uptick, phasing out programs, and other changes helped balance the budget. Barnes Jewish Hospital's expansion is almost ready to start serving patients. The 16-story Plaza West Tower will open in October and add 280 rooms for inpatient and ICU care to the medical center's campus. Dr. John Lynch is Barnes Jewish Hospital's president. He says the project adds to the region's level of care.
So you don't have to go to any other city, you don't have to go to any other clinic, you don't have to go and leave town to get the most advanced care that you need.
The latest round of construction at Barnes Jewish's campus has generated an estimated $2 billion in direct economic impact for the St. Louis region. The Jefferson County Health Department has opened a new facility in Hillsboro. The 20,000-square-foot building replaces the agency's former home, a 70-year-old facility that was only half as big. The new building has several exam rooms and lab spaces. It also separates patients from administrative offices and offers visitors more privacy. Steve Sykes is the county's health director. He says the new building is a better fit for a modern health department.
We've grown so much. We still do clinical services and environmental, but we have a lot of other programs as well that weren't there back in the 50s when that building was open.
The Jefferson County Health Department provides dental care, family planning, and wellness checkups, in addition to its work inspecting businesses and keeping track of contagious diseases. Skies across St. Louis will be dotted with colorful hot air balloons this weekend for one of the region's longest-running, or should I say, highest flying traditions. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz takes us to a practice ahead of the skybound competition.
Towering hot air balloons light up near the O'Fallon YMCA to practice for this weekend's Great Forest Park balloon race. While we aren't fully taking off due to nearby storms, the aeronauts here say that's just part of the unpredictability of the activity. The annual balloon glow kicks off Friday night at Forest Park. That's when all these aircrafts will fire up their burners to dazzle thousands. Then on Saturday, they're off to the races to mark this year's edition of one of St. Louis's most beloved traditions. In O'Fallon, Missouri, I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Big name artists have big platforms to launch their new music, but local acts don't have the same kinds of easy access to new audiences. That can make their work harder to find. Enter St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis with this walkthrough on how to find and support St. Louis musicians.
On a Saturday night in August, the dance floor in the basement of Chuse is packed to the brim. Morgan Gallagher is a regular here and came to see DJ Tilda Sweatin, a St. Louis-based house music DJ.
It was queer night, right? That's why we're here, yeah. And also, we go here kind of a lot.
In less than a year, Chuse has become a popular spot for house music fans. Kalia Mallory is the creative director behind Chuse. She's trying to help build up St. Louis's house music scene.
To try and be a space that people could look to find new talent, and then that creates that web.
In St. Louis, people are creating ways to introduce music fans to local artists. Maya Norfleet started a new music roundup on St. Louis on the Air. She invites local artists to share their music on the show. Norfleet says discovering music is just as simple as stepping out of your comfort zone and paying attention to those coffee shop flyers.
I really will stop and look at that and just be like, oh, I hadn't heard of this venue before. That's new. I'm gonna look that up.
And she's not alone. For a lot of people at Juice, they find music through old school methods.
Mississippi Underground, like, has so many just, like, posters, and, like, you'll get, like, 10 flyers.
From just looking at posters that are on Off-Broadway.
Others find music on social media.
I like to use Instagram, follow some people that you know are already on the scene, kind of producing for the scene, like Umami's a good one. Manipool.
And of course, there's the most radical method. Just walking into a venue.
Now there's Red Flag. Red Flag's a beautiful venue. It sounds great.
The Whiskey Ring has bands. I like live bands better than anything.
Billy's there. But I don't think it's open. You could go there back in the day and see some of the most prolific blues and jazz artists in the city. Like, first time I ever saw Miss Anita Jackson.
If I could take my time and my imagination, I take a cinema.
There's also Heavy Anchor and Blue Strawberry and festivals like Workfest for the Culture and FemFest. And that's just the start. Norfleet says she was introduced to new artists through the now-defunct RFT Music Showcase. Joseph Hess launched Free For All this September after years of organizing the showcase. He describes it as a platform where more than 100 St. Louis punk bands, country, alternative, hip-hop, and R&B artists can showcase their music.
What this is supposed to be is a local music holiday that is for musicians, made by musicians.
The showcase comes during a changing music scene. Venues like Mississippi Nights closed more than a decade ago. The coronavirus pandemic shut down the RFT Music Showcase and the St. Louis Underground Music Festival, and venues like BB's Jazz Blues and Soups and the Ready Room. And some are returning. John Harrington is a member of the hip-hop collective Midwest Avengers and a founder of the St. Louis Underground Music Festival. It returns this month, and he says it was an easy decision to bring it back.
It's a legacy, really. I think it's trying to keep the music going and keeping the scene going and keeping music, you know, available for the next generation of people.
Harrington says that's the energy that will keep the local arts community strong, because your favorite new artists could be right around the corner. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. To discover more music venues and ways to find St. Louis musicians, visit our website at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur and, right now, Manipool. I'm Abby Larico. I'm excited to be finally mixing up my Saturday morning playlist. And from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.